The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted to have you here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Join in at 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, my email is bill@billmyersshow.com. KMED.com is where podcasts are located. Also, billmyersshow.com. And we thank you very much, the folks at Clouser Drilling, for sponsoring the podcast and making that happen. All right. Here it is. The big story, the big federal story that everybody has tongues a-wagging. And, of course, Democrats have finally found their national security muscle kind of atrophied over, during the Joe Biden administration. security, schmucurity, and 36,000 emails or whatever it was with Hillary. Nothing to worry about. This is just a put-up here. But it is something, and I can't help but think that we're going to hear a lot of homers in the talk radio world that are just going to do everything to defend the text message scandal. And I don't say that happily. It's like, and I'm not going to bash the Trump administration for what happened either, but let's not kid ourselves. What happened yesterday, what was disclosed yesterday, was not good. All right. I think this is we must be honest among ourselves. We are adults here in Southern Oregon. Like I said, I gave Trump my my vote, but I did not give him my brain. That will be something that you will notice, I think, a lot in talk radio today, that there will be a lot of defense of this. But what happened? Here's the story. And I'll just take some of this. I have Defense News Daily that has a good take on it, and 47 Report has a pretty good take on it, too. A good newsletter Dennis Michael Lynch, I think, puts out. Senior Trump national security officials talking about classified airstrike plans, against the Houthis over the Signal app. This is an encrypted app. And they accidentally included the Atlantic journalist Jeffrey Goldberg in the chat, and then Jeffrey Goldberg leaked screenshots of the texts. Atlantic reporting this with details about weapons, targets, and timing regarding plans to strike the Houthis in Yemen. The Trump administration officials involved in the group chat included National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Vice President J.D. Vance, CIA Director John Ratcliffe, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, and Secretary of State Marco Rubio. So they're all in there. And Democrats are having a full-blown hissy fit about all of this, many of them lambasting the Trump administration for such a disastrous leak. However, others speculate that the incident was intentional or a misdirect, primarily due to the odd choice of Goldberg's accidental selection, and since none of the messages revealed any specific details of the war operations. Now, President Trump was asked about the leak, and he responded, "I don't know anything about it. I'm not a big fan of The Atlantic. It's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine. You're telling me about it for the first time." All right. Now, where do you go on something like this? The first thought that runs through my head, and I'm no national security expert, but what the heck are you using some app that any Nimrod can go on Google Play or the Apple Store and pick up? Why are you doing that? Why would you be doing that in the first place? This reminds me a little bit about that situation. Do you recall how they had to finally take away Barack Obama's BlackBerry? Remember that during the Obama administration because it wasn't secure enough, that sort of thing? Remember that story? I know Obama administration seems about 10 lifetimes ago. I had the Signal app. I took it off. I didn't really use it. I just don't have much need for secret text messaging to one another. It's just not my thing. But, I had it in there for a while. It's like, okay, it works. Fine. All right. And then I just I deleted it and let it go here. But we have people in the Defense Department and national security using something like this. And yeah, it's encrypted, but yeah, any Nimrod can have the program. Wouldn't you think that the administration or that the military types would have their own network, I guess is what I'm going at. Now, I've never been in the military, so maybe I don't know how this works. But there comes a time that, and here's the other thing. Pete Hegseth said that nothing had happened at first. He denied that anything happened. And now they're all having to admit that it happened. And then this is the FFS moment. Why hasn't anybody been fired yet?
You idiots!
Yes, idiots. Everybody knows how this game is played. You're there, you're the big ones, you're in charge, yada, yada, yada. Pete Hegseth didn't add Goldman onto the chats. You know that Marco Rubio didn't add it on to the chats? There was some underling that added it to the chat. You know that's what happened, right? That's how it had to have happened. Somebody did it. Do something to that person. Find out whoever arranged the list of signal people. But I'm surprised nobody noticed this, but I know that we'll probably be listening to a lot of talk radio denying that there is anything wrong with this. Yeah, there was something wrong with it. And you fire somebody and you say, we've got it taken care of. You just take it head on. Isn't that the right way to do it? 770-5633, we could talk about it. But yeah, this is, it just had me this morning shaking my head. And
you idiots!
And I know, yes, the Democrats are, oh, this is a horrible thing. I don't give a flying F what the Democrats, you know. All I would remind you, though, when you hear everybody try to defend this today, just take it back a year. What would we in talk radio be saying if the Biden administration had done this? That's all you need to know. So don't give me whataboutisms. Just fix it. That's all I would say. We have people. People screw up. We learn from something, and then we move on. Am I correct about this? I'm not going to throw the Trump administration under the bus. No way. But that was pretty dumb, wasn't it? And can we admit to ourselves when something pretty dumb was done? 770-5633. Tell me what you think about that this morning. We have other headlines this morning, too. The first hour of Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. So anyway, that was a big boulder in my shoe this morning. And I'm already hearing conservative talk radio out there. This is not a big deal. This is nothing to worry. And nothing happened. And stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Okay? This is the Bill Meyer Show.
This is an emergency alert.
I'm in your garage, and I'm on KMED.
21 minutes after 6 on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. So we have the Trump administration people. All of them in national security, one level or another, talking on the Signal app, and they had the Atlantic editor involved in the chats too. And then, after it happened, he ends up reaching out to them, and then shares some of this. And I know that, the part of my mind that first went off though on this whole scandal, whatever it was, this idiotic scandal, is an Alexander Vindman type thing. Remember Alexander Vindman on the Trump call? Alexander Vindman, that slack-jawed military guy that ended up releasing squealing about the Ukraine call. Remember that? This is in the first Trump administration. Remember that? That would be my question. Who is the Alexander Vindman within this Signal chat group or whoever set this up? That's where I'd be looking. That's something that crossed my mind here, too. You can tell me if you think it's a big deal or a nothing burger. I just say it's something that would be more of a nothing burger if somebody gets fired and then they just say, hey, it happened and you're really sorry about this and we're going to make sure this doesn't happen again. And we've learned something from it. That's how adults deal with it. Deny, deny, deny. Deny doesn't work when they're releasing your text messages. Okay? That's kind of the way I look at it. And you're sitting around there and talking about it. And apparently J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, was concerned about the timing of this. He wasn't actually in favor of the strike on the Houthis at that time. And anyway, that's the top national story to be ruminating on. Another one this morning, top national story, trying to figure that about Representative Jasmine Crockett, a bloodthirsty Democrat from Texas, said in her latest interview that Democrats need to drop their Mr. Nice Guy routine and start to punch in their races against Republicans. Crockett was blunt when asked about how Democrats can win elections, specifically in the red state. And I think you punch. And I think you're okay with punching. I seem to recall, isn't she also the one that talked about clunking Ted Cruz on the head at some point? But that's okay. Democrats can incite violence all over the country, and it's perfectly okay. You know, we need to take down Elon Musk, and then the Tesla dealers, like, instantly are set on fire, kind of like an oil refinery in spring when it's time to switch over to the summer blend. And, you know, the CEO says, you know, the price is too low, and then you push the button, and it sets the refinery on fire. Now, I don't know if there really is a button like that, but it always seems that way, right? Oh, the price of gasoline soars in the summertime because we had a California refinery fire. How many times have we seen things like that, huh? Let's see. Good news here for the Trump administration and for us, for everyone, really. Hyundai announcing a $20 billion investment in the United States. Now, this may have some connection with the tariffing of foreign manufacturing, but Hyundai yesterday announcing a $21 billion in U.S. onshoring. They're going to spend close to $6 billion for a steel plant in Louisiana. And they're planning on hiring more than 1,400 Americans and will produce next-generation steel used in Hyundai's two U.S. auto plants to manufacture electric vehicles. Oh, to manufacture electric vehicles?
Ah! You idiots!
Something tells me I'm going to use this Ren and Stimpy drop a lot over the... Okay, but still, it'll be made here, I suppose. And so Hyundai's announcement comes as major international conglomerates are racing to dodge the tariffs and avoid a trade war. So that's actually a good story, though. That will actually help quite a bit. Meanwhile, Donald Trump announcing a 25% trade tariff on countries who import oil from Venezuela. To any nation that trades with Venezuela, Trump justifies the tariff as a response to Venezuela sending members of Tren de Aragua to the United States, Trump arguing that the gang, which was designated as a foreign terrorist organization, has made inroads into the United States with their help. Okay? All right. So there's some of our top national headlines. We also have some local headlines, too, that I want to touch on, including the U.S. Supreme Court with the youth climate case. I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But since it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, we'll go to the phones. I don't know who's there, but we'll find out. Hi, good morning.
Well, good morning, Bill. It's Deplorable Patrick. Hey, good morning.
Deplorable Patrick, how are you, sir? My friend,
well,
you are the premier caller. What is on your mind this Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday?
Well, I am the inaugural member of the Bill Myers Show Callers Hall of Fame.
I think you're the only one that's in there right now. I really need to get to work on that.
Well, it's very exclusive.
Okay. You'd like it to stay this way, wouldn't you, huh?
Well, you know, I'm trying to get used to center stage. It's not easy.
All right.
But it's easy for you. But I have to confess, I've been subjecting myself to these videos where you got Josh Hawley grilling AOC, you know, and...
Where is it, like One American News or Newsmax, one of those channels? Is that where he is now? I forget. I remember he was going someplace, and I didn't keep track of him after that.
He's still in Congress, isn't he?
No, Josh Hawley.
Out of Missouri.
Josh Hawley?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the Florida guy. Never mind. Okay, never mind. Okay, so Josh Hawley is grilling AOC. Fine. Please, continue.
See,
I'm getting my firebrands mixed up.
It's easy. This was another cup of coffee, you'll be fine.
Exactly.
So he's jumping her bones about putting out a printed document telling the illegals how to avoid being taken and deported.
Exactly.
You don't have to answer the door.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is you and me join forces and to figure out how to get a message to Josh Hawley Josh Hawley's next question for AOC should be, Alexandria, are you an attorney? And she says, no. Mm-hmm. So why are you dispensing legal advice, Bishop Cagacio-Cortez?
Oh, I don't know. It's not like she's practicing. I don't know. I think that's kind of weak myself, honestly.
You do.
Yeah, I do. It's just kind of, you know, yeah, I could suggest to you, hey, listen, when the FBI comes to your front door, don't answer it, okay? Am I practicing, am I giving you legal advice? Or just as a friend just saying, hey, don't talk to the FBI if you can help it, okay? You know what I mean?
Well, I thought it was legal advice. Maybe I'm just too deplorable.
It could be. It could be. All right. Besides, you know what's going to happen? All of AOC's illegals are going to come to Oregon. Have you heard the latest in our illegal alien coddling state, what we've done lately? Have you heard about this one? The latest one?
No,
about...
but I know that somehow it's connected to their huge desire to disarm us.
Well, that may be coming next, too. We haven't had the hearing for HB 3075 announced yet, but I think there's going to be a work session coming up April 2nd, if I recall. So it's something to definitely watch. But this is like, you know, with friends like this kind of department here, Senate Bill 599 was passed out of the Senate yesterday in Salem. And what this does is that it stops landlords from being able to inquire, don't ask about, don't discriminate on the basis of a rental tenant or applicant's immigration or citizenship status here. In other words, rent to the illegal alien or else. That's what the state of Oregon is working to pass right now. You will, landlord, rent to the illegal alien or else you're in big trouble.
I got to get word to my daughter. She has 3 rental houses.
Yeah. My question is, how many people are going to say, you know, I don't feel like renting my house out any longer. You know, when I'm even at the point where I have to rent to the illegal alien. Now, I suppose if you want to vote to rent to the illegal alien, it's perfectly okay. But they are going to enlist the help or force the enlistment of the help of the rental housing community, of all the landlords out there. Now, if I recall correctly, I think it's only for... Maybe it's for 10 or more units or 10 or more housing units. It could be something like that. I'm going to have to check on the details. I haven't read the entire bill at this point. But just the very fact that they are just openly in the face of the United States government's crackdown on this, just saying, yep, landlords, you are not only going to have to, you are going to have to flout the Trump administration's rules here. You can't tell anybody about it. You can't disclose it. It's like... you know, it is the unmentionable subject. You can't ask, you can't investigate, and you can't disclose nothing if you're a rental, if you have a rental home. Okay,
especially if they're Trinidadian people wanting to rent.
That's right. You're not supposed to ask about it. You look at the prison tats, and you're going, "Oh, what a nice man!" And then you're just supposed to turn it over. And of course, you know, also the Oregon rules is that the first qualified one has to get in. So Trinidadian gets in first. Boom, there it is. You have a nice apartment complex full of trends. Now then, you know what even makes this story better is the Republican participation in it.
Oh, good.
2 Republicans reached across the aisle. They reached across the aisle kind of like, you know, limboing. They were limboing under a pay toilet door to get there. I don't even know why they do this. Senators Mike McClain. Mike McClain, remember? Judge. He was a judge here for a number of years ago. Then he was a judge, and now he is a Republican senator. Mike McClain. He voted for this. And Dick Anderson, Senator Dick Anderson, both fine Republicans. Republicans, the ones that we are incredibly proud of this morning, just so you know. Okay?
I'm hoping that Pam Bondi will get around to sending some... Deputy Attorney Generals out here and take a look at what they're doing to us out here.
I have to tell you, some of the best things that conservatives could be doing here in Oregon is just taking notes and just dropping notes into the Department of Justice. For years and years and years, the Department of Justice was at war with us over different things, of course, as we well know. And it's like when you have a Department of Justice that would at least read your email, I would highly recommend that we drop little notes like this thing about this story. Okay? All right.
I'm with you. Thanks so much for the program, Bill.
All right. Have a good day. So there it is, a couple pebbles in your shoe. If you are a landlord, you are to rent to the illegal alien or else. This is the Bill Meyer Show. What could go wrong with such a deal? Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Republican legislators in Salem want a federal investigation of the Oregon...
in Old Town Eagle Point. Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:37, it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. A little bit of open phone time if you wanted to jump in and beat the rush, as it were. 770-5633, 770-KMED. By the way, a little more Trump administration news. This one kind of not getting a lot of reporting, but I actually think it's a good deal. New York Post reporting that Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, will get a full and unconditional pardon. And the president promised Archer the pardon after they met at the NCAA Wrestling Championship in Philadelphia Saturday night. Remember, that's the one that they stood up and they gave him a standing ovation. And that's arranged by another former Hunter Biden associate turned whistleblower, Tony Bobulinski. And Post reporting that Tony Bobulinski says he's getting a full pardon, too. He was screwed by the Bidens. They destroyed him like they tried to destroy a lot of people. I think it's a pretty good use of the pardon power. Bobulinski, of course, was coming out and speaking quite candidly about what was going on there with the big guy, and needless to say, punished by the Bidens along the way. Okay. Other interesting piece of news: U.S. Supreme Court has ended the Oregon youth climate case. This is great news. Now, the way they're talking about it, though, this is in the Oregonian, by the way. Maxine Bernstein writing this for the Oregonian. The headline, Wins Along the Way, U.S. Supreme Court Ruling Ends Oregon Youth Climate Case. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined a petition to revive this nearly 10-year-old case initially filed in Oregon by youth climate activists who have struggled to get their federal case against the government to trial. Yes, the youth climate case. Essentially, you have communist kids raised by communist parents who are all communist climate activists because this is how we deindustrialize and destroy society. Now, some of them, of course, may be true believers, all right? But this is the bottom line here. It's kind of like communist gun control people. Children cry and you have to shred the Constitution, that sort of thing. The David Hogg type people out there. Children cry about the climate. I'm not guaranteed a good environment. It's not a perfect environment. I'm not guaranteed. And then the communist parent says, oh, there. Just go ahead and file a lawsuit. And we'll get liberal judges to help push it up. Well, apparently it didn't work. So this petition has now brought an end to the youth-led legal battle, at least in Oregon. 21 young people had asserted their constitutional right to a sustainable climate, and they wanted the judge to order the United States to prepare an energy plan that transitioned the nation away from fossil fuels. Because we know that right in the judicial rules out there, that judges are the people who are the specialists in formulating climate outcomes. Just like they're the ones that know which dirtbags need to be deported and which ones do not. And they know how to run foreign affairs and they can tell the president what to do. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. But, you know, this is the thing they were doing. Of course, I have to tell you, I think that we can have absolutely every climate lawsuit, every climate change commie kid might change their mind if the very first thing that happens when you file a climate change, sustainability climate deal, immediately take their cell phone. Take their cell phone from them, because this cell phone, of course, is made from the minerals of Mother Earth, and it was dug out by slave kids over in the Congo. And they're digging out the cobalt and doing all of these other things. And you know, all you like to do, climate commie kid, is to offshore it. You just like the pollution and the damage done offshore. That's it. So just take this. This is unsustainable. The cellular networks use a lot of energy. The internet uses a lot of energy. If you want to deindustrialize the planet, go whole hog. Like David Hogg, H-O-G-G. Go whole hog. But anyway, their petition was thrown out. They sought to have the United States Supreme Court throw out a ruling by the Ninth Circuit Court that directed U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken in Eugene to dismiss the case. So Aiken had earlier allowed the activists to amend their lawsuit, ruling that she would allow the case to go to trial. She subsequently dismissed the case after the Ninth Circuit issued its order. So anyway, what they're finding is that the high-profile youth climate change lawsuit was beyond the power of a federal court judge to order or design a plan for the problem. Now, see, that's an astounding statement, given how many other judges are always using whatever it takes to find a way to design complex plans, because that's what they go to law school for, not to rule on the law, but to decide how would you run the bureaucracy instead, and you get to do it. You know, the Democrats know who to go to when they lose elections, and so that's how this ends up working. But yeah, the climate kids down in flames, not going to happen, at least here. But on the other hand, there is the situation in Montana where the climate kids lawsuit over there was gaining some traction because the Republicans there did not really defend it well, according to Dr. Ed Berry last time I had a chance to talk with him. But still, you know, these are the same kind of people, just like the climate kids in Ashland, that's, oh, natural gas is going to destroy the planet. And so we need to resist. And we need to charge you, what was it, $4,100 or whatever it was to put in a natural gas furnace. Yeah. Natural gas is bad. I would say take away the cell phone, take away everyone who's in a climate change, deindustrialize the planet, then. The moment they walk into it, you should take off every item of clothing or whatever they're using, which is connected with any kind of fossil fuel, any kind of the jeans usually have some kind of polyester in them. Of course, that's oil, that sort of thing. The food that they are eating, most likely, of course. Now, of course, there are organic foods, but even then, usually organic foods wrapped in plastic, right? We got that. And natural gas ends up creating many of the fertilizers that a lot of these kids like, you know, the meat, I mean, just... All right, you know, if you want to live like it's 1820, you first. But they never want to do that. And most of these kids tend to be of well-off communist parents here, because the communist parents apparently know how to get things done out here on the West Coast, especially. It's 644 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. So we have that story. That's good news. The climate kids down in flames, at least for now. Then there is the Center for Western Priorities. This is an interesting group. Statement on Trump's plan to create miles of sprawl across the West. Now, I don't remember seeing any headlines that said that, do you? Well, let me share with you this latest. This is from their release. I got this last night. In an interview with Bloomberg Law, published Monday, the Trump administration announces that it's considering selling off 625 square miles of public land. That's about 400,000 acres for housing development across the West. John Raby, the acting director of the Bureau of Land Management, said the administration is looking at all kinds of national lands as far as 10 miles away from any city and town with as few as 5,000 people. So this is actually about developing some of the West here, right? The Center for Western Priorities says, according to their deputy director, Aaron Weiss, get ready for a housing development to pave over your favorite hiking trail. The Trump administration just announced a bleak vision for traffic jams and suburban sprawl across the West. The president wants to sell off the lands that are most accessible to Westerners for hiking, hunting, and camping and turn them into miles of McMansions that stretch across our deserts and mountains. Building 10 miles out from small towns is not a recipe for smart growth or affordable housing. Like hell it isn't. But anyway, that's my opinion there. But it's just a giveaway to billionaire developers at the expense of America's parks, trails, and wildlife. Now, 400,000 acres, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's not in the grand scheme of things. But the Departments of the Interior and Housing and Urban Development announced this plan to identify public land that could be used to develop housing and to sell that land to local governments and private developers. Now, it didn't really talk about what metrics would be used, but naturally the Enviro commies are coming back and say, they're going to pave over your hiking trail. Well, I suppose if they are trying to pave over your hiking trail, you could always propose to buy the hiking trail. But you see, you don't want to buy the hiking trail. You want somebody else to pay for your hiking trail. That's usually the way we tend to look at most of these things. Oh, they're also complaining that the Trump administration is actively undercutting HUD's efforts to develop affordable housing. Okay. You can see what's going on here. The Trump administration, even if it is a bit ham-handed about it, is trying to fight the sustainable development mantra. And that is what controls everything out here on the West Coast. Everything out here in the western part of the country. We've decided that it's okay for New Jersey to be 98.5% developed. But, for Oregon, if you get above 18% of any kind of development or anybody living on the land, it's horrible. We're destroying Mother Nature, all that kind of stuff. We know what those forests are really meant to do. They're supposed to burn and restore every summer and choke us with smoke. That's the real purpose of public lands. I'm being sarcastic, but you kind of get my drift on this kind of thing. What they call sprawl could be another person's affordable home. And think about, what is the biggest component in most people's homes? Ends up being the cost of the land and also the government regulation. What the Center for Western Priority wants you to do is to force you into the stack-and-pack, central city, climate-friendly, equitable community, like what Governor Kate Brown ended up putting in for the executive order. We'll be talking more about that, too, a little bit later on with Diana Anderson. That's their vision. Their vision is you have no land. Their vision is you are in your climate-friendly, equitable community, your 15-minute city, your little 15-minute prison city, and, well, everything you need. You can walk to every place you want. And the school is the community center. And we have your little Soviet plan style community here for Medford and for Ashland and for Grants Pass and everybody else. In fact, I'm sure that as far as sustainability is considered, they probably look at the Grants Pass homelessness situation. Oh, this is so sustainable. Look at the minimal impact that these bums have on the on the environment, except for the dysentery when they poo on the street. But, you know, I digress. I know that's been cropping up in Portland lately, that sort of thing. But, yeah, they don't want people to have homes. They really don't want people, these people like Center for Western Priorities. The federal government has so much land under its control, so much land. We probably can't even imagine how much land they have. And the Center for Western Priorities is terrified that some of this might be used for housing for people because it's not in the stack and pack little prison 15-minute city model, which is what all the leftists want. See, the leftists want the rural lands for only one thing, preserved in amber so they can come out and look at it after they leave their McMansion in Portland, okay? I think that's really what we're talking about. That's how I see it. I don't know if you have an opinion, but you can tell me yours. It's 770-5633. Speaking of the 15-minute prison cities and the whole push, have you heard what the city of Jacksonville wants to do? They're talking about closing down a road. So a road died in little Jacksonville. Why would they do such a thing? At least I'll give you what we know coming up. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
We've heard it all.
That ditch was way too close to the road.
You know, fifth wheel trailers, man, they are terrible on tailgates.
Next time I see a yield sign, I'm just gonna stop.
Better gauge the wind speed before you open the car door.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday at 770-5633 to join in. Well, I promised you a little note on what the city of Jacksonville is up to now. And this reported on KOBI, KDRV, everyone's been covering this, and it kind of got lost in the shuffle. And I have a relative who lives in Jacksonville who was really hot and bothered about this, so I thought, okay, take a look. City of Jacksonville is asking for community feedback on a potential new pedestrian plaza. The city's looking at options to make pedestrian improvements on North 3rd Street, right off California Street. And what this plaza would be used for are events like food truck festivals, markets, holiday events, wine tastings, and a bunch more. The goal to increase downtown foot traffic by creating a more friendly environment to sit, walk, and roll. What is it? Is this the latest woke, politically correct sort of thing? Like, well, we can't exclude the wheelchair community. Who's ever heard of that? Okay, but I'll let that one go. But these are the two concepts being reviewed, and you can take a survey. You head to the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce Facebook page, and then there's a link to how you can get involved with this. There are two concepts being reviewed. Now, what I don't know is if there's grant stream funding connected to this. Normally, when they come up with this kind of crap, there's usually some kind of climate-friendly, equitable community grant, some kind of enviro grant. I don't know. I'm going to have to do a little more investigation of this. But there are two plans they are considering. One is a mostly car-free plaza, a car-free plaza that could be used as an everyday gathering space to enjoy historic downtown. It would close the southern half of North 3rd Street to cars, except for emergency access, while the northern side of the street would remain open just for alleyway access, okay? So more trees, greenery, and art would be added to the space, including options for seasonal installations like the annual Christmas tree. Now, the second concept keeps the street open for two-way traffic, but it could be closed off for events. It also maintains two parking spaces in the plaza area while adding more seating and landscaping. I do find it interesting that much like even the city of Medford and all of the other cities, when they want to get some kind of agenda pushed through, they give you two choices when there really should be three. Can you take a guess on what that third option is that is not mentioned in the KOBI story here that I'm quoting from? Do nothing. Yeah, you go to this survey, and you can go with option number one, car-free plaza, you shut it down. And then there's the option two, keeps the street open for two-way traffic, but it could be closed off for events. Okay, well, the thing is, you could close any city off there or any street there except for the main highway, I think, for events right now. You don't need to have citizen input on something like that, do you? The other aspect of this is that they want to do this supposedly for tourism. This is for tourism, to make it more friendly to walk around. Now, I lived in Jacksonville for a good, gosh, how long did I live in Jacksonville? It was 12 years. 12 years I lived in Jacksonville, okay? Lived there a long time. It is a very pedestrian-friendly city as it is right now. Nice sidewalks. And my gosh, they have the traffic going around at a crawl through downtown. And it's pretty easy. People stop. People cross the street. It's not a big deal. So why do they feel the need to have a permanent closing of a street and blocking the transportation through here? It doesn't make sense to me. The other aspect is that if they're going to close the street permanently here, you know, and they're going to make it for, well, we're going to have this little plaza in here. It's once again, just like the bicycle bumways of Medford, it's going to be used only in the summertime. So you do these closures all the time, you know, full-time closure. You get rid of the infrastructure and you put up a few benches and things like that. Now, you can put benches up anyway. Go ahead and do that. Nothing wrong with that, giving people a chance to be able to sit down. But why would you shut down streets for permanent plaza type situations in a city that it's really only walkable and touristy about 3 to 4 months out of the year? And then after that, it's darn cold and wet. Darn cold, wet, and or snowy. But you see, that part never gets brought up. But it's once again yet another way to put pressure on people getting around your city, just like the bicycle bumways and the road diets and the various other things. So I would be asking your city council then, what kind of hot grant stream funding is burning a hole in the back of your pocket, if any? I think that needs to be done, because there are always strings attached, just like with the ridiculous plan that some past Medford City Council ended up signing on to do the bicycle bumways and the bollards and everything else, that getting everybody confused and just not wanting to go into downtown Medford on top of the speed cameras. And then they wonder, hey, why aren't people showing up? Because, I wanted to come visit Medford's climate-friendly, equitable community. Yeah. My sarcasm kind of spills over on these sort of schemes. But still, they say it's either going to be car-free, or then it'll be car-free except on special events, that sort of thing. But the one thing that they don't offer is do nothing. And if they're not going to, in this Jacksonville plan to have a new pedestrian plaza, if they're not having an option for you to select do nothing to the street, then they're not really giving you a true choice, are they? They're giving you the standard left-wing playbook of a predetermined outcome, one way or another. You know, we're going to have you walking more. Walking and rolling, because we don't want to insult the wheelchair community, the wheeled community, that kind of thing. But, yeah, that's what the city of Jacksonville is planning to do right now. I'll be talking about that a little bit later on here with Diana Anderson. In fact, a little bit more than an hour from now, she's going to be here. Diana Anderson, I'm going to hold up her book. She did this really interesting book. It's really in-depth, too. Who Made American Schools Marxist Training Centers? I'll hold that up to the Facebook Live camera. Because we'll take apart a bit of this Jacksonville plan, because I think it's all part of this, the same kind of agenda, the same anti-transportation agenda, that if you're not walking, well, you know, something is wrong with you. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with walking. I'm just talking about what is reality. But what the hardcore Marxists are all about is not about something which functions, but something which is sustainable only within their model, kind of like their little Soviets, and they want little Soviets. And what Diana really wants to break down today is this plan in the city of Medford. City of Ashland. The city of Ashland, what the plan is doing, they're asking to build an affordable housing on school property. School property. And they're talking about this as what a great way to increase enrollment in the school. But remember how Diana said this whole United Nations, this whole Agenda 21, this whole sustainable development push is to have you continually in the school as a community center. Now, they're talking about it in Ashland as a Well, we just need more affordable housing. And I'm sure Ashland does need more affordable housing. But they're going down exactly the model that Diana has been talking about on my show. But, of course, that would be considered up to now a conspiracy theory, right? Well, the conspiracy theory continues to play out in Oregon under climate-friendly, equitable communities. And we have to have, our learning centers. And you have to live by your learning centers and walk by your learning centers. And, it's just, it's playing out right before us. And the mayors and the city councils are just kind of acting like, oh, this is just a neat program that's coming our way. But why is it all pushing the same agenda? Don't ask too many questions. There's not nearly enough of them. This is the Bill Meyer Show. KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Coming up here in just a few, we're going to have a good conversation. Mariah Rossi is running for the Three Rivers School District. And she was the person who ended up getting this whole thing going on with the smutty book in the library that State Representative Dwayne Yunker ended up reading passages from on the House floor and was being gaveled down. How dare you read this smutty stuff? How dare that we taxpayers are forced to pay for this. But she was the mother that ended up starting this whole thing. We'll talk with her next.
It's not all about you when it comes to your well water.